Did you spell it phonetically or did you spell it correctly? Oh, he spelled it like it's in the dictionary, kind of. X, ass, fix. Okay, anyway.
Welcome to Nerd Burger! Episode 5. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are.
Episode 5.
How about that?
Woohoo! We have not pod-faded. It's been 1 month.
It's been over a month.
Well, that's, yeah, but 4 episodes.
It'll have been over a month when you're here, when you listen to
a
this.
A month's worth of episodes, and we have not pod-faded.
Good for us.
You know what pod-fading is, right?
I do. Why don't you tell our listeners?
Pod-fading is when a podcast goes... We got 4. Andy told me he listens. He listens to every episode.
Sweet!
Our listeners are our friends. And Mike's dad.
Even though he doesn't know what we're talking about.
Because it's all young guy stuff.
That's right.
High praise.
And James, who's still managing to stay awake.
Crap, where was I going? Anyway, yeah, it's episode 5, so we have not pod-faded, pod-fading being the, you know, internet term for a podcast that, you know, they put out an episode every week, and then they start putting out an episode every other week, and then it's like once a month, and then it's every 3 months, and then they just kind of disappear. And sometimes it's much faster than that. So we've managed to last longer. I think I read something somewhere that we've managed to last longer than 50% of the podcasts on the web.
I was just going to ask you, where are we on the bell curve?
Yeah, most podcasts make it 2 or 3 episodes.
Really?
Yeah. They're all over the place.
We recorded more episodes than those just practicing.
if you go to podcast directories, and some of that stuff gets cleaned out after a time, but you can go digging around in podcast directories and find podcasts that are only 2 and 3, maybe 4 episodes. And they're like, you know, it's like the first one... Then there's one a week later, then there's one a month later, and then that's right. It.
Well, we don't care how many of you aren't listening, because we're still having fun.
And surprisingly, I would doubt that, you know, most of those are actually, probably don't sound terribly great, because they're probably just recording into the microphones and their laptops and stuff
like
that.
I don't think we don't sound particularly great, but other people seem to think so.
We've had a number of people say that they really like the sound.
I don't know if they...
The sound design.
Yeah, but how many of them are actually complimenting us on how great it sounds, and how many of them are saying, wow, I expected it to sound so much worse.
That's possibly quite true. But keep in mind, 2 of the compliments have come from podcasters that I listen to that have been podcasting for quite some time.
Wow.
We got two different people come back. I fired off kind of a thank you for inspiring me to give this a shot.
Right.
And I, you know, a number of them wrote back and said, hey, that's cool. Welcome to the world of podcasting.
Are these people without documented and hearing some of them, problems?
I would assume. And a couple of them actually said, and wow, like first episode, that sounded great. I, you know, that was good sound design. Okay. So if we ever have our own personal potties, we want to call them the potty awards. Best sound design. It'll all be just one nomination for everything.
Oh, potty.
The potty. Not potty, but that's funny.
I couldn't tell if you're saying potty or if you were doing like a Boston thing in honor of, you know, this week.
Oh, no.
Like the potty.
The potty. Yeah, no.
Like a party.
The pod.
Or a party.
A party. And that's an architecture term. Look it up. It's bull crap anyway.
Yeah. Reify yourself while you're doing that. Inside humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll explain it someday. Or maybe we'll tell the story in a link somewhere hidden on the website.
That's right.
One of these days we're gonna actually follow through with that and put some video or a hidden something or other up there. But who knows? We'll see when that actually happens. For now, we'll just joke about it.
So today it's just us.
Yeah. This is our guest right here.
That sounds like more than one.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, nobody.
There isn't even a chair over there.
It's just the two of us. Man, we didn't even bring
a chair. Not even an empty chair.
So we can pretend like somebody's over there. Do you have a cutout? Do you have a big cardboard cutout of anybody we could have just put over there? No. I'm a nerdy guy, but I don't have any, like, you know, Lieutenant Worf standees or anything like that.
I used to have. I don't think I ever had a standee, but I had... You know, I used to have all the posters and all that crap. I think it's all rolled up into one giant roll in a box somewhere in the basement. which pretty much is...
which means it's probably in
75% of the things that I own are in a box in the basement.
Including some things that you've borrowed from me.
Not me.
Oh, that's true.
Some things that not I borrowed from you. That
the wife borrowed from me, mm-hmm. and then couldn't find again, and then had to go out and buy it for me again. Season one of Buffy. That was gone for nearly 2 years before I got that returned to me. A new copy. So for all she knows, the discs I gave her were scratched. And I got a free set of season one Buffy out of it.
In the new slimline case.
Yes, format. That's true. I got it in the nice clean, you know, the smaller case. So it will take up less room when I put it into a box.
Yep. There's a chance that that's not in this house. There's a very good chance that's not in this house. And that was never in the apartment before, that it didn't come down here with her. There's a very good chance that
it's roaming somewhere in America.
Or that Chair Girl owns it.
Or that Chair Girl. That's what's her name again?
Teresa.
Hi,
if you're listening.
If you want to sponsor the show.
Please start by returning Craig's season one of Buffy.
No, I've got season one of Buffy. I say leave it out there. Let it bring joy to someone else. Let them enjoy the very, very uneven first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You're going to let it roam the earth like Kung Fu guy?
like Kane in Kung Fu.
I never watched it. Call him
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu guy.
Kung Fu guy walking around.
Kung Fu guy who's now dead after strangulating himself while performing some kind of autoerotic.
Yeah, he was in a closet, wasn't he?
Him and...
like hanging from a closet.
Him and...
Hooker.
Him and the NXS guy.
Bar. Michael Hutchinson. Hutchins or Hutchinson?
Something like that, yeah.
So that
cheery.
That was a fun topic. Let's move on to something that might actually be entertaining. Although, you know, if our spike in listenership goes up over the fact that if we tag in autoerotic asphyxiation on this episode, and suddenly we have a spike in downloads.
Making a note!
In the brand new notebook.
Which I almost forgot to bring up.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Link to autoeroticism.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Sorry. Autoerotic.
Learn your
ass. Fix.
Learn your sexual fetishes.
Asian.
Did you spell it phonetically or did you spell it correctly? He spelled it like it's in the dictionary, kind of. X, ass, fix. Okay, anyway. You have a what degree? Bachelor's?
Huh?
You have a bachelor's degree?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job. And you went to and you went to a public school, public college.
I went
state-sponsored.
A state-sponsored tech college,
College, and you went to a public high school. And
yes.
Public...
No.
No, you went private grade school? When you should have been learning how to spell asphyxiation.
I went to Jesus grade school, yes.
Oh, you went to a parochial school?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of parochial school?
Crazy mother.
No, but like school. Lutheran, Episcopal, Catholic.
Crazy out the ass Lutherans, yes.
Lutherans, like Ascended Lutherans.
Those crazy out the ass Lutherans,
the frozen yes. Chosen.
Exactly. The people who believed that if you weren't Christian, and not only if you weren't Lutheran, but you had to be that exact specific synod Lutheran in order to get into heaven, and everybody else is going to hell.
Even though the Bible says that you have to accept your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that's how you get to heaven. Oh, and not be a horrible murderer or rapist or something mm-hmm. like that.
And they also taught us
anyway
in science class. What am I doing right now, Craig?
Quote
making air quotes for science,
or as some people like to call them, dick fingers. Just a way to show that you're being a dick.
I had not heard of that before. Thank
I heard
you.
That a few weeks ago. I thought that was good.
Okay, so dick fingers. Science. Yeah, we were taught in fifth or sixth grade that God put the dinosaur fossils in the earth to test our faith.
Okay. I think we're going to go to a different topic.
Oh, that's right. We're not supposed to talk about religion.
We discussed we wouldn't talk politics and religion. We made it to the beginning of the fifth episode before Oops. We sort of delved into it.
Anyway.
Let's go talk about the nerdy stuff.
But first.
Uh-oh. What do you got?
I found this on YouTube.
YouTube's?
Now, last week we took the weekend off. We did not record anything.
We recorded previously, which is the whole goofy thing with the Schrodinger's episode.
So my parents were here. My dad, who is his repertoire of humor pretty much consists of poop jokes, butt jokes.
Yeah, and I've made it a habit that whenever Mike's parents are going to be in town, that I make sure to kind of invite myself over for dinner sometime because I like free dinner in a show. And Mike's dad puts on a heck of a show. He's a funny guy.
What was that one? Was that a couple of years ago for Thanksgiving? You were here for like 10 hours.
Yeah. And I spent the whole time just watching Mike's dad riff on whatever happened to be on television or whatever subject we came up with. It was really entertaining.
So, I found this, which was posted on the internet. What's today? 11 days ago. And right before that weekend. And I knew he would like it. And
so 11 days breaking news.
Yes.
Nerdburger bringing you all of your news a week and a half late.
Free advertising for Kmart. So Kmart, if you'd like to sponsor us, throw some money. Here's some free advertising.
Shit my pants. Right here. Shit my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
The old couple.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
You can't find what you're looking for in store. We'll find it at Kmart.com.
Yeah, okay.
So it's, they're saying ship.
Ship
with
S H I P.
Ship as in
ship my pants.
As in UPS or FedEx.
Like I just said, ship my pants. You say it fast enough. Conveniently sounds like something else. That's really, really funny.
That we don't have to bleep.
No, not at all.
We're not going to add an hour onto your editing.
Yeah.
Like, hope not. Like last time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we had to.
Well done, Kmart.
Yeah.
That's just when I awesome. Thought you were about as generic as you could be, and there goes our sponsorship. Mm, yeah.
Well, I know. I personally don't shop there, but I shop at Sears, and they're owned by the same company.
Right.
So.
Wow.
We have a Sears Kenmore washer. We really like it. It replaced our 20-year-old Sears Kenmore washer, which
I now really like.
No, oh, you didn't get Allison's. That one. You got the other.
I bought your old washer and dryer, or Allison's old washer and dryer.
It was our neighbor's old washer.
Oh, was it the neighbor's? How'd you end up with the neighbor's washer and dryer?
Did he die
and bequeath it to you in his will?
He either gave it to us for free or sold it to us for like 20.
And I paid you money for it?
No.
Oh.
No, we must
the
have.
The truth comes out.
No, he.
Scam.
No. We paid 100.
You scammed money.
No, we paid him $100 and gave it to you for 50, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little better.
Or we didn't. Or he gave it to us for 50. I don't think he gave it to us for free.
I
didn't realize we made you pay for those.
Yeah. Well, I asked you. I mean, I said I wanted to just give you something for it, even if it's, you know, the thing's old and it's next to nothing.
Yeah. I don't know how long they sat in our.
Anyway.
In our utility room next to the other washer and dryer.
This is exciting, exciting podcasting. Where did Mike's washer and dryer come from? Next on Nerdburger. Jeez, this is what happens when we don't have a guest here. I'm going to have to redouble the scheduling episodes and make sure we have like a backup person for every episode.
I don't know. That's a little.
That's a bit much, yeah. I gave it a shot. We were supposed to have a guest on and he was unable to make it at the last minute. Real life got in the way and that's understandable. And I checked with a couple of the people I was hanging around with yesterday to see if anybody could do it with short notice, and nobody was able to. So
yeah.
I decided to say, screw it. We'd just wing one, the two of us, which actually I feel good about because the James episode didn't have a lot of pre-prepped stuff.
No.
We kind of just winged our way through that one, and I was pretty happy with the fact that we managed to riff our way through a lot of it.
And this is also exciting podcasting, talking about how.
Yeah. But I'm just, it's a little bit of a report of the state of the podcast, how the podcast is doing.
Dun, dun,
anyway,
dun, 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 dun,
so dun, dun, dun. Would you like to have some fun with probability?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you ever watch Let's Make a Deal? Back in the day?
I don't think so.
Okay. But you know what it was about, right? You remember? It was Monty Hall. The audience members all dressed up in weird costumes. He would pick people. And basically, there was little variations on the game. But the basic game was there were three curtains or boxes doors.
Yeah.
And numbered 1, 2, and 3. And the contestant had to choose where the prize was. choose the door they wanted to that they wanted in the hopes that the prize was behind it. And basically the way it was set up is that there was always a prize. The big prize was behind one door. Let's say it was a car. And behind the other two doors was some sort of booby prize, which basically indicated you lost. You didn't actually get the booby prize, like the giant rocking chair. Mm-hmm. So let's say it was a goat. There was a spokesmodel holding a goat on a rope. You won the goat.
What do you mean I don't get the goat? Yeah,
exactly. Well, if you really want
goats. I got all this paper.
If you really want goats, that show was a win-win-win because you could get a goat, or a car that you could trade for many, many goats. Anyway, you had to pick a door.
So if you were Dwight Schrute.
Oh, I got more news. I got Dwight Schrute coming up later, too. Very good. But basically, the premise was you had to pick a door.
Did NBC turn around and pick up his show?
You have no clue about this.
Okay.
You picked a door. Man. What?
Oh, I can save that till TV talk later.
Okay.
You probably already have it.
Anyway, you pick a door, and Monty always knows where the car is. And then you pick a door, and then he goes to the other two doors, and he reveals what's behind one of the doors. Mm-hmm. And it's always the goat.
Yeah.
And then he asks you, would you like to stick with the door you picked or switch to the door that remains? And the contestant had the choice, and it was a drama moment, and the audience would yell at them.
Yeah.
Pick it, stay, blah, blah, blah.
Because they knew better. Someone in the audience knew.
Right.
Which was the goat and which was the car.
Knew that your gut instinct was wrong. Mm-hmm.
Even though
right.
You should always go with your initial instinct when picking multiple choice.
Okay, here's the thing. Let's set it back to the beginning of the game. Now, you're going to be the contestant. You've got three choices. You pick one. Doesn't make a difference which one it is. The point is that there's a car behind one and a goat behind the other two.
Yeah.
You pick one. What are the chances that the door you picked has the car? Not a trick question.
One in three.
What are the chances that the car is behind one of the remaining two doors?
If one goat has already been revealed?
No. Right now, while there's still three doors, nothing's been revealed, you make your first selection. What are the chances that you have the car? One in three.
Yeah.
What are the chances that the car is over there behind one of the other two doors? Two in three.
What?
What are the chances that the car is behind one of those other two doors? If you have a 1 in 3 chance that you've got the car, there's a 2 in 3 chance that the car is behind one of those other two doors. You don't know which one.
Right. But the car's not there. Okay.
But as a group, those two doors together, yeah. There's a 2 in 3 chance that car's over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Monty reveals one of the doors. And there's a goat.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you have the choice of switching or not.
Right.
What are the chances... Before you choose to switch, what are the chances that the door you have initially chosen has the car?
50-50.
Wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Still 1 in 3. It's still 1 in 3. The perception changes. The chances that the car is behind the remaining door that you have not chosen is 2 in 3. It is always better to switch.
Really?
In that scenario. Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But let's play out the scenario this way.
Where did you come up with this?
It came up in a podcast I was listening to, and I dug it up on Wikipedia. It's called the Monty Hall Problem, named after the host of the show. But here, look at it this way. I actually played the scenario out with a coworker. We did the thing 10 times, and she switched every time. No matter what she picked, she switched, and she won 8 out of 10 games.
Wow.
Now, as she would have played more, that would have gotten closer and closer to a 67% win rate. Closer and closer to 2 out of 3. But think about it this way. The way it works is the probability is set based on there being three choices and only one winner. And once it's set, it never changes. The perception of it changes because people don't know probability. And they think because that one door has now been removed, it's still technically a choice for where the car might be. It's just not something you're going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
So if the car is behind door number one and the goats are behind door number two and three, let's do it this way. Let's try all three scenarios. You pick door number one.
Mm-hmm.
I reveal door number two to have a goat. You switch to door number three.
Mm-hmm.
You get a goat. You lose.
Mm-hmm.
Reset.
Mm-hmm.
You pick door number two. I reveal door number three to have a goat behind it. You switch to door number one. That's got the car.
Right.
You win. Scenario number three, reset. You pick door number three. I reveal door number two, which has a goat behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You switch to door number one. You win.
Okay. So
those are the only three ways that can play out.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So that's just a little bit of fun with probability.
So are we going to play a game now?
No.
Oh.
Well, unless we're going to play with the crickets. Boo. Where's the boo? Come on. Boo.
Boo.
Wait a minute. I dumped my... Why did I dump my audio?
Because you had to play the theme music down. Poorly timed response sound. Okay. So yeah, there you go.
All right.
You can look it up on the Wikipedia. We'll link to it. It's called the Monty Hall Problem. They've got all sorts of graphics and everything to discuss it. And the great thing is that there's a discussion of the fact that this was written up, this whole little probability problem was written up in Parade magazine, I believe it was.
Do they still make that?
Whatever. It was put out, and Parade got thousands and thousands of letters, from, including some from hundreds and hundreds of people claiming to have PhDs, telling them that they were wrong.
Yeah.
So,
just they laid it out like you just did.
They laid it out. Yeah.
And I laid it,
whatever. Yeah. Who? What PhDs? Okay. Was it some guy with a PhD in art science? You know, or art history or something?
Not that there's anything wrong with
art
that.
History. Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily a guy who had a PhD in mathematics or probability or statistics
or
something.
Right.
So
could have been a PhD in architecture.
Anywho, so there you go. There's that. Did you have something? You had a surprise. You had something that you wouldn't,
that was my
you wouldn't
surprise.
Tell me. Oh, is that was it? Okay. That was fun. Ship my pants.
Which you had already seen. So.
Right. And now he's writing very good. And I can send you the links to this stuff. I actually, you know, linked all this. Speaking of Dwight Schrute, I rewatched House of 1,000 Corpses recently. It's a Rob Zombie movie. It's the first movie he made.
Good for him.
10-ish years ago.
Not a fan of his music, but good for him.
Yeah. Well, the second half of the movie looks like his videos, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot these guys were in it.
Dwight's in it?
Well, first, yeah.
Wilson?
You jumped the route on that. But yeah, Rainn Wilson is one of the two male leads. There's four teenagers on their way to getting slaughtered. You know, it's a horror movie. Rainn Wilson is one of them.
Wait, how old is this?
11, 12 years. Just before The Office.
He's playing a teenager?
Yeah.
Does he actually look like a teenager?
Well, he's playing... I think they were like college students or just post college or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, still. I mean, he looks younger. I mean, it's over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And the other guy hidden behind a full beard and mustache and long hippie hair, because the movie was set in the '70s, is Chris Hardwick. The host of Talking Dead. And way back in the day, this is like in his Singled Out days when he was on MTV. He, I'm guessing, probably met Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Through MTV. And he has admitted that he's in that movie because Rob Zombie knew him.
What is Singled Out?
It was like some dating game show on MTV from years and years ago. It was like Hardwick's first big public exposure.
Yeah, I pretty much stopped watching that network when after Puck on the Real World.
After the third season, after 1994 or 95, whatever it was.
Which we discussed.
I never watched the show.
One?
I don't watch reality shows generally. I sure as hell don't watch dating shows.
You get hooked into some, though, and when you do...
Yeah, well, that's true, but it's got to be like... I mean, I watched Face Off on Sci-Fi when it's the first season of that, where it was, you know, it's all people doing special effects makeup and stuff, which was really cool for one season. I started watching the second season. And I said, nah, I've seen this before.
The other MTV one that you was the My Super Sweet 16. Yeah,
I watched that a little bit, but for purely
the spoiled little brats and their birthday parties.
It was all for ego bolstering reasons, though.
Yeah.
Because I knew after I got done watching an episode of that, no matter what I have done or will do in my life, I'm a better person than those little assholes. And that goes for like pretty much everybody that was in the episode.
Yeah. Including the parents.
The kid, the parents, all their friends. Their friends, yeah. All the kids who didn't get invited. The party planners who just wanted to milk, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars out of these parents.
Oh, speaking of which, we finally watched season one of Party Down.
Oh, good.
Which featured a Super Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's
party
true.
On was the, like the QE2 or something.
Something like that. And the girl
dad was a fit. Skoda from Law and Order.
I don't know who that is.
I can't think of the actor's name, but he's in the Farmers Insurance commercials. Yeah, you
DVR.
But he was just every other word out of his mouth was an F-bomb.
Okay.
It was so funny.
Watch some other television stuff. Did you know Amazon is doing TV or original programming? I guess it's not technically TV because it.
I was just made aware of that a couple days ago or yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to check it out.
And they've put up the pilot episodes of, I think, 8 shows.
Okay.
And basically given the whole world 30-day access to Amazon Instant Video.
And based on how many times each one gets watched, they're going to be turned into a real show? Or?
Well, I don't think it's going to be just how many times they get watched. I think there's actually voting involved.
Okay.
So we'll see where that ultimately takes us. I haven't, to be honest, I don't care enough to vote about that kind of stuff. So I haven't really looked into what's the process? How do I get to, be involved in making sure that this show becomes a reality?
So yeah. if you're curious, listeners, you need to go do that homework yourself.
Yeah. Go look it up.
We didn't do it for you.
No, that's the type of quality broadcasting you get from the Nerdbreaker podcast. We don't look it up. Screw it. I don't care enough, but I did watch 3 of the, I've got my apathy face on.
Should that go on the front page?
What?
I don't care enough. Craig.
Well, it's not really talking about the podcast. It's talking about whether or not I want to vote on Amazon. But I watched 3 of the pilots. Actually, okay. I watched 2 2/3. The third one I just couldn't get through.
Uh-oh.
I was like, this is terrible.
Okay, tell us which one was bad.
The one that was really bad was Dark Minions.
Okay.
And it's a stop motion, what a lot of people will call claymation,
mm-hmm.
but stop motion sci-fi.
Really? That sounds like that would be fun.
And I'm thinking, okay, sci-fi. I like sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like sci-fi? Losers, terrorists don't like sci-fi. Everybody likes sci-fi. And it's going to be stop motion. So it'll be like a new take. I can't think of, other than the occasional snippets of things on Robot Chicken.
Right.
I can't think of a sci-fi stop motion.
No.
Anything. You got all your Tim Burton horror stop motion. Every 10 years he does a stop motion movie with little creepy dolls.
Featuring the voices of Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
So I watched Dark Minions. Here's 2 problems. Number one, it just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I'm expecting it to
be
a comedy.
Was it supposed to be?
One would assume it's going to be a comedy. Because it's
stop motion?
Well, the content, they were going for jokes. They were trying to be funny, but it wasn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other killer. They haven't completed it, the pilot. It's not all animated. 2/3, maybe 3/4 of it is storyboarded.
What?
With all the voice work done and special, all the audio work is in there.
Yeah.
But it jumps from animation to storyboarding. Storyboarding. Here's the problem I have with that. Stop motion,
by its
nature, should evoke something. It's very out of the ordinary. Tim Burton does his stuff. He does little creepy little dolls, and it's like you're watching creepy little dolls move around. It has that value to it. Robot Chicken has the nostalgia value of actually using the toys from our childhood.
Uh-huh.
And playing out little scenarios with them and being, it's funny too, but it's also the nostalgia value. The stop motion lends itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
The old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stuff, that was about Christmas, which is about Santa Claus, which is about toys. So you're watching actual toys being used to tell a story. So mm-hmm. far, and going so far as to have an island of misfit toys where the toys are literally telling the story. What happens in here? Everything that's animated, that they have actually animated, is the boring crap. It's the people walking down the corridor in the spaceship talking to each other.
Wow.
Where's the animation of the spaceship?
Yeah.
Where's the animation of the teleportation, the transporter effect?
Right.
Where's the animation?
All the expensive stuff.
At 2 different times, they have a character. They establish that one of the characters gets sick after being transported.
Yeah.
And he vomits.
Uh-huh.
Where's the stop-motion vomit?
No, they...
They totally dropped the ball.
Wow, way to meet your deadline, guys.
Yeah, they animated the boring crap.
All right, yeah, they suck.
You know, do it one time with the characters to see what the how the characters will move, to see what the two main characters are going to look and sound like. And then give us the stuff that's going to actually sell the show. Mm-hmm. Ugh, terrible.
Okay, what else was
0 there? Out of 5 stars. Didn't even finish watching it. Maybe he vomited in animation later.
What else did you watch?
I watched Browsers. These are all half hour shows. Browsers is a musical. And it's about 4 interns who've just gotten out of college and they're starting work at their first job. They're all starting on the same day. They're, you know, the new crop of interns. And they're working at what is essentially it's called the Daily Gush. It's like an aggregate website that, you know, has a bunch of sub pages and it compiles news and, you know, it's the website that gets the first, you know, gets the viral clip first and gets the celebrity news first and the, you know, sports stuff first and the baby pictures first and all that kind of stuff. So these people are starting a job that essentially means they're going to get on a computer and browse the internet for 8 hours a day. Hence the name Browsers.
Okay.
But it's a musical.
Is it funny? Is it a comedy?
It's trying to be a comedy.
Oh.
And it's trying to be a good musical. There were 6 songs. One of them was good.
In a half hour. Wow.
They're original songs. They're not doing the Glee thing.
Right.
It's all original music. Yeah. So they have the first song was sung by all 4 of them as, you know, each of them had like a verse as they're going off to work. And it's basically this whole, you know, this is the first day of the rest of my week. And that was, you know, that the first day of the rest of my week, the play on this is the first day of the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That was as clever as the show got. Was that wordplay.
Wow.
Get into the show. And, you know, there's a plot going on, their story and whatnot. And each of the main 4 characters has their song. The only song that I actually liked was sung by the character who gets the least screen time and is not developed at all during the first episode. Bebe Neuwirth is in it playing their boss and was like, here's an excuse. We're going to have, she's probably getting paid a crap ton of money because she's a Broadway person. We'll have Bebe Neuwirth in there and she'll sing a song every week. And no. She still looks good for her age. I'll give her that. But no, it just wasn't very good. It had a few mildly funny moments and the really skinny, nerdy Twitter nerd guy, all the rest of them are really properly coiffed and really well presented. And they look like TV stars. They look like, you know, they look really good. They're, mm-hmm. they're pretty people. That guy needs to get his teeth fixed. Cause if all he's ever done is worked on stage
where you can't see his teeth,
that's fine. But yeah, because not a good representation of the really nerdy guy either. Like, oh, hey, look,
not even British.
He's obsessed with his 900 and some followers on Twitter.
Is he British?
No, he's an American guy. But the killer
is he Southern?
No, he's just generically American, generic American nerd, skinny, tall, wiry hair, bad teeth. Has 900 and some followers on Twitter. It's actually part of his song is how he tweets. And that's how he feels mm-hmm. good about himself and gets his revenge on people because he like tweets something bad about somebody. Hmm. Yeah, that was exciting.
He must suffer from...
autoerotic asphyxiation?
Oh, I think that's the title.
Jeez. All right. So that's that. Then came the one I was really excited about.
Oh, it's just funny writing it down.
Are you going to spell it like that?
Just put.
You have to spell it phonetically when you put it in the title. Anywho, the next one.
I spelled it ASPIHY.
You know. X. Good enough. Make stuff up.
No, but, I was gonna say he must suffer from so much for having notes, right?
Yeah, see,
fear of missing out.
Okay,
which we'll discuss later.
All right, but I watch, he's got paper with highlighter. He brought like what, 5 different colors of highlighter. Okay, very, very proud of you. Yes. But third one I watched was Zombieland.
You Wait, should,
the movie. You saw the movie Zombieland.
Is this a TV show
picking right up from the end of the movie.
Awesome. With all the same characters? All the same actors? Not the actors. Oh.
Same characters, not the same actors. You honestly think they're going to get, was it Emma Stone and Jesse Eisenberg?
And Woody Harrelson. Well, they could probably get
Woody
Harrelson.
Might be able to get Woody Harrelson.
But definitely not dead Bill Murray.
Spoiler. Anywho. No. Oh. You see, after the fact doesn't help anybody. Anyway, we'll just hope people don't even pay attention to
what you're saying. We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, anyway. So, Zombieland.
Yes.
Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita, and Little Rock. Characters right out of the movie, right?
Yep.
They're on the road. The events of the first movie have played out. So what do they do? First thing right out of the box is they establish that Columbus and Wichita. Come on, fill in the blank for me. How'd the movie end? Columbus and Wichita. He brushes her hair back from her eye.
I don't remember
how they fall in love, right?
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right out of the box in the show, that relationship's over.
Yep, of course it is.
They're not going to be together at all.
Oh, but maybe they are.
They give you a 40-second flashback later on to tell how it fell apart.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, okay, well, so that destroyed one of the character relationships. All right, let's see, what else we got? Oh, right, in the movie, Wichita and Little Rock were untrustworthy.
Yeah.
They betrayed the main characters on multiple occasions.
Yep.
Before they finally became a family at the end and established their cohesive family unit. Okay, so that has played out. They're a trusting group now, right? They work together.
Yeah.
So what do you have left for the female characters?
They go back to their old ways?
No. They have nothing. Wichita is cynical.
Okay.
And Little Rock is occasionally precocious. That's their characters.
So it's boring is what you're saying.
It's boring.
Okay.
It tries
so don't being, watch that one
it
either.
It tries being funny. It doesn't really get there.
So 3 out of 8.
No.
And you struck out.
Here's the kicker. Yeah. 3 up, 3 down. Here's the kicker. Jesse Eisenberg, the Columbus character, he has his rules.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, they give you like a dozen out of like the 50 or so that he supposedly has.
Yep.
Great hook for the TV show, right? We'll start filling in the rules.
Sure,
we'll
make jokes why about not?
The rules. Yeah. Want to know what one of the rules? They give you, I think, 3 rules. Here's my favorite one. The rule is... It's like rule number 34 or whatever the number is. Ziploc bags. What do they use the Ziploc bags for? They put food in them. What were Ziploc bags designed for? To put food in. Cardio, as a rule, was funny because you can outrun a zombie. Double tap, as a rule, is funny because plenty of movies... You don't, you know, the good guy doesn't shoot the bad guy twice to make sure he's down, or shoot the monster again to make sure it's dead. You know, limber up. The rule was funny because Jesse Eisenberg's character limbers up and he's fine when they perform physical activity. And later on, Tallahassee tries to, he strains himself because he didn't limber up. And they throw the limber up rule back on the screen for you to remind you. No, what was the rule here? Oh, they had a pie that they put in a Ziploc bag. Rule number 34, Ziploc bags. Jeez. The funniest part of the show was the first like 3 or 4 minutes that did not feature any of the main characters.
Wow.
So, crap. Amazon, my advice to you, and now we're not going to get a sponsorship anytime soon from these guys. Amazon, stick with selling things that other people make.
But I buy stuff from them all the time.
Yes, but they make they sell things that other people make. Don't try to make... Ugh. And here's a kicker too. Zombieland is filled with what Jane Espenson refers to as clams. Comedy clams. Clams are good for a little while.
Yeah.
Comedy jokes are good for a little while. There's a help, I've fallen and I can't get up joke in Zombieland. That joke is 25 years old.
At least.
There's a succession of like 3 different old person jokes, and that's one of them. You just laughed louder at me saying that than I laughed
through the
entire episode, minus the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I actually laughed during that. I was so geared up. I was like, oh, this is cool. Anyway, suck, suck, suckety, suck.
What else is new in TV?
Oh, Dexter. You watch Dexter.
Well, I love Dexter.
I watch Dexter. We enjoy Dexter. We enjoy watching.
Can't wait to see how that wraps up.
Season 8 is coming up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the last one.
Yep.
There was talk at one point about maybe extending it a little further because Showtime wants to make fat cash.
Milk it for all it's worth.
Might as well.
Because
the show has been going strong the last few seasons. They're
still, it's not trailing off.
A little bit. Well, things vary over the course of a season. You know, the premiere is always a big day, you know.
And then the finale is always huge.
The finale is always huge. And then the episodes in between can kind of go up and down.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is it. One more.
Okay. Good. Good.
So wrap that story up properly.
Don't let it peter out. This is the opposite of what's happening with How I Met Your Mother, which
now it's getting,
I could have sworn was ending this season, and now they've extended it another one. And I was actually looking forward to it ending this season because it really hasn't been up to the level that it originally was at. It's really petering out.
It's the
writing is just is nowhere
the,
near
the writing
as good
isn't
as, it
as great, and it's kind of like, you know, get to the frickin' mother already,
right?
You know, the conceit of the show
is that we're gonna get the payoff.
Is gonna get to the ninth, you know, it's gonna go 9 seasons long. It's a little bit long, but
they've already said that they're gonna reveal the mother in May,
right? But that doesn't mean they can't spend a whole season before they get together,
right? So there's gonna meet be a whole season of will they or won't they? We already know they will,
right? But we've known that for 8 seasons.
But now they're going to introduce her as a character.
Yeah, and
they're going to try to mess with our minds like that? Come on.
I don't know. Who knows? They might have something clever figured out. Yeah, who knows? But if they can do it in one more season, that's fine. Let's try not to extend it any further, you know, because frankly, Jason Segel just needs to do more movies. Or, well, good ones anyway. He's done some stinkers.
And Ted Mosby, whatever the hell that actor's name, can go back to
Josh Radnor
doing nothing like he
does,
was before.
He does indie movie stuff. He does all sorts of little stuff, yeah.
Was he doing anything before this show?
I don't know.
I'd never heard of him or seen him before.
No, I hadn't either. But I think my understanding is he does a lot of real small stuff. He's a very...
Ted Mosby, fake TV architect who does fake architect things that no real architect ever does.
That could be a whole bonus episode sometime. It's just you and I talking about how terribly architects are usually portrayed in television and movies.
Bonus episode idea!
He's writing it in the notebook.
This is the voice I use to denote that I am writing in the notebook.
Because his face is far away from the microphone. That's
not that far away.
It's actually far enough away, but your point is
far enough away.
Oh, jeez. All right. And then
it's getting a little Barb Brady-ish.
Breaking Bad has been pushed back, I guess, a month. They announced the date. You said you were the one who told me that's actually a pushed back date.
Well, I wasn't know aware that they actually had a date, but
but the point is that the date is set now.
Yeah,
it's August 11th.
I had heard middle of July, and I just assumed, and in my head that was July 15th for me. So.
Spoilers.
What? Breaking Bad spoiler?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the spoiler for real this time. Let's put it before the actual spoiler because I have a question for you.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, spoilers for Breaking Bad. If you don't want to hear about this kind of stuff, skip ahead a couple minutes. This shouldn't take too long. Now that Hank has...
Wait, do I want to hear this? I don't know if I want to hear this. Can you do this without me?
Have you not watched the...
Oh, you're spoiling the last half of this,
the last episode of the first half of the last season. Yeah. Episode 8 of the 5th season. Hank on the toilet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now that Hank has crapped himself.
Well, not really, because he was on the toilet.
Yeah, and they didn't end it the way I wanted them to end it, which was for him to be sitting on the toilet, and then he pieces it all together when he sees the book, and he figures out that Walter is...
Which is how they ended it.
Right. What I wanted it to be was him to be sitting on the toilet, piecing it all together, and then all of a sudden, bloomp.
Or...
as he shits himself or shits in the toilet.
As he has uncontrollable explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. But what I want, because since we didn't get that, what I want, how do you want the first scene of the next episode to be? What I want to see is Hank come running out of the toilet with his pants around his ankles, brandishing a weapon.
and then tripping and falling and knocking himself unconscious so that he doesn't get to tell everybody. And then he's in a coma for the first few episodes.
So he can go back in the hospital and his wife, and he can become the most annoying character on the show instead of his wife, or instead of Walter, Skyler, you know, Skyler. Walter's wife.
Yeah.
Because he surpassed Skyler as the most annoying character on the show for the few episodes that he was in the hospital and recuperating from the gunshot.
What was the bonus episode idea? I never actually got. I got bonus episode architect, idea, colon. Thank
architects.
You.
So that's where we're going, I guess. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to Breaking Bad actually having a wrap up too, because it sounds like they really have an idea of how, you know, they've had a plan.
Yeah.
I like seasons and shows ending with a plan rather than just do 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 and canceled.
Or Lost.
We can talk about that sometime, but I'm perfectly fine with the wrap up to Lost, because I let go of my expectations long before the final season rolled around.
All right.
Now you got something.
I had TV something. I had an idea. I figured you were going to cover it.
No, but no, you got a bigger topic there.
I do.
Something that you made some notes on.
Yeah, I know, but I had something else for TV that I wanted to talk about.
I don't know what it was because you didn't tell me what it was.
Okay. Maybe it was the Breaking Bad thing and I'm just forgetting.
Well, you knew about that because we brought it up before the show.
Yeah, I don't remember what we talk about and what we don't talk about.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I overslept. I didn't have enough coffee. Give me a break. So, as I mentioned earlier, there's this thing called FOMO.
FOMO?
F-O-M-O.
F-O-M-O. Not mofo?
No, it's reversed. But it's, I'd never heard of this before.
Okay.
And apparently it's been around for a while, too.
Apparently you get all of your news from the wrong internet sites.
Well,
you didn't go to the sites that were reporting FOMO.
Right. See, FOMO is an acronym for the social disorder fear of missing out, coined by Kelly J. Watson and Diane E. Meyer in 1985. That's been around for a while.
Okay, whatever. If you say so.
It's a label for the... Well, this isn't... this is from Wikipedia, but it's from a user page. Thomas.
So it's almost certainly accurate.
No, I did. Yeah.
Go ahead.
There are other sources, but this was, you know... FOMO is a label for the sadness one feels when knowing she is missing a good time with loved ones, the worry one feels that memories are being made that she will not have, or the anxiety one feels when deciding between multiple equally fun-sounding events. It's related to social anxiety disorder, blah, blah, blah. American Psychological Association has yet to take up the disorder, but in the age of social media, the fear of missing out has become more intense. Addictions to the internet can lead to FOMO pathology. And just kind of...
Okay.
How people feel compelled to check social media all the time because they're afraid that they're missing something that's going on in their friends and family's lives. And the whole thing came about because I was trying to find a topic for today's show.
last minute. Well,
and I wanted to talk about this Facebook Home thing, which is the new that was announced last week or a week and a half ago or something. It would have been recent had we recorded on time, but... because we took a week off. Yeah, so have you heard about this?
No
clue. Do you have any idea what
it
is?
No, zero. Hit me.
Okay, so it's basically a layer on certain Android phones for now, and it's going to end up being on probably most of them, that inserts itself in between kind of the Android start screen. Like, it kind of replaces the home screen. Or the start screen or whatever you guys call it.
The boot up screen type thing.
The thing with all the widgets and whatnot on
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, your home screen.
The lock screen. Yeah, so now it's Facebook, and you see pictures and postings from all of your Facebook friends.
Okay.
Instead of the traditional widgets.
So it's just...
It's basically forcing Facebook on you, like putting it in your face, through your phone.
Facebook
in
your face.
In your face.
In your face.
Which is great if you like using Facebook, but as you and I were talking, like, you and we're both not really Facebook people.
Not really.
You way less than me. You've probably posted more stuff on Facebook in the last few weeks since we've started doing this show than I have ever seen you put on.
Absolutely.
Facebook.
I have posted four announcements of four episodes of Nerdburger, and that is more posts than I have posted since I started using Facebook.
And by the time you're listening to this, there will be five.
Yeah.
A fifth. I just don't like Facebook. I think I just it's such a waste of time. I don't understand how anybody can, like, the amount of activity that I see people engaging in, and these are my friends, you know.
You almost did dick fingers.
I kind of did half.
They turned into the shrug hands.
They're kind of flaccid dick fingers.
Oh,
do I have to bleep dick?
I hope not, because we said it a lot.
I did it in the last episode.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Anyway, I try to, but I, and this is kind of what led to me discovering FOMO. Was I have a related condition. I have the opposite condition. Because I do not feel at all compelled. I have to force myself to look at Facebook, and I do it once a day. And the time that I have earmarked for checking Facebook and making sure I keep up to date with everything people are putting on there is when I'm pooping. I feel that's appropriate.
So do you think of those as the dark moments, the worst moments of your day?
No.
Because I'm like, oh, now I got to look at Facebook. Yeah, I'm...
It's just, I'm sitting there, I'm not doing anything, I might as well check Facebook. Well,
I'm kind of with you, because, you know, hey, FOMO, people suffering from FOMO disorder, FOMO pathology, whatever you want to call it, which, you know, social anxiety disorder, it's another type of social anxiety disorder, which, you know, back when I was a kid, we called that being sad sometimes. And now it's 82 different types of disorders, but because
people can make money off of them being disorders.
Right. There's no typical.
That's why it's that way.
There's no typical person anymore. Everybody, you know, there's no such thing as the average, unafflicted, typical.
Everyone's a healthy victim person. Of something everybody's, that they have
everybody's
no control
got
over.
Some sort of a disorder.
Yeah. I'm a victim.
Yeah.
Love me.
But so FOMO people, I'm going to speak the truth for you. I'm going to preach it. When you go to Facebook and Twitter and everything else, you know, it's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. But the compulsion thing of constantly checking it, constantly. Number one, it's the internet. That crap's never going away.
No.
It's not like if you don't look at the Twitters today, they're not going to be there tomorrow.
But it's not timely. I want to know what my people are saying now about things that are happening to them now.
You look really upset. Now I'm kind of feeling bad.
I don't. I'm feeling. I'm playing the character.
Maybe I have a disorder that I over-empathize with my friends. And when they're upset, I get sad too.
No.
I'm just going to say that.
I was just being method.
Oh. Was that a bit?
That was a bit.
You were
yes.
doing a bit.
I was doing it. You couldn't tell. You thought that was me?
No, I didn't.
Come on.
I'm playing.
Just because I didn't use
the fingers.
Erect fingers.
Anyway,
that I probably have to bleep.
Anyway, hey, FOMO people suffering from FOMO. If you feel like you're missing out all the time, guess you know. Remember, 99% of the stuff that's being posted up there has no impact on your life whatsoever.
No, not now, not ever. I can speak from experience because the only
things
I have...
It's a picture of somebody's beer.
That's just going to say, that's the only thing that I ever post is food.
Right.
I post food and pictures of the animals.
It's a picture of somebody's cat lying on a sofa, you know, sitting on a sofa like people.
Yeah, wearing a cat sized Packer jersey.
It's a chipmunk on a skateboard. Yeah.
Or a pug.
Or a corgi,
a bulldog on a skateboard.
Yeah,
I think.
It's 98% of it is it's
not stuff you're
not gonna.
It's not gonna hurt you to miss it.
And you're not even gonna miss it. You're not even gonna miss it because you can find funny stuff other places too. You can watch a comedy and be entertained for an hour and a half, or you can surf the internet and try to be entertained for an hour and a half. Yeah.
But for those of you who
so that's how much I use Facebook. Yeah.
But for those of you who can't break your addiction to Facebook and don't care about being FOMOs, is that a word?
Mofos.
Mofos.
I'm going to start calling them mofos.
I just wanted to... Oh, hi. The dog came to say hello. Are you going to fart? You going to fart on us? Yeah? Is it time to eat?
Who's the stinky dog? Who's the stinky dog?
He thinks it's time to eat.
No, well, it's not.
No.
It's time to podcast.
Yeah, and it's almost time to finish.
Go.
So, I just wanted to touch on this article that I read when the Facebook Home was announced because... this will put some things into perspective for you people who think that Facebook is great. And what do I have to worry about? It's from Om Malik of GigaOm, and we'll put the link in the show notes. It's entitled "Why Facebook Home Bothers Me: It Destroys Any Notion of Privacy." And I'm just going to hit on some highlights here. Facebook Home should put privacy advocates on alert, for this application erodes any idea of privacy. If you install this, then it is very likely that Facebook is going to be able to track your every move and every little action. The new Home app UX Quasi OS is deeply integrated into the Android environment. It takes an effort to shut it down, because Home's whole premise is to be always on and be the dashboard for to your social world. There is a bigger worry.
I thought you were going to say dashboard to your soul, but go ahead. Yeah. Jeez.
But there's a bigger worry. The phone's GPS can send constant information back to the Facebook servers, telling it your whereabouts at any time. So if your phone doesn't move from a single location between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. for, say, a week or so, Facebook can quickly deduce the location of your home. Facebook will be able to pinpoint on a map where your home is, whether you share your personal address with the site or not. It can start to build a bigger and better profile of you on its servers. It can start to correlate all of your relationships, all of the places you shop, all of the restaurants you dine in, and other such data. The data from the accelerometer inside your phone could tell it if you are walking, running, or driving. As Zuckerberg said, unlike the iPhone and iOS, Android allows Facebook to do whatever it wants on the platform, and that means accessing the hardware as well. The problem is that Facebook is going to use all this data not to improve your life, our lives, your lives, not mine, because I'm not using it, not to improve your lives, but to target better marketing and advertising messages at you. And most importantly, it's Facebook, a company that is known to have played loose and easy with consumer privacy and data since its very inception, asking for forgiveness whenever we caught them with its hand in the cookie jar. So go ahead and buy one of those Facebook home phones and enjoy having Facebook know everything you do and everywhere you do it.
It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. The opening line to 1984.
Yeah.
So, Facebook, if you'd like to sponsor the show, yeah. So, does that do it?
We're pretty much at the end of this thing.
Alrighty, we'd like to thank nobody for showing up here today. That's not a rip on the guy who couldn't make it. By the way, we understand. We'll get you back on the show. Down the road.
Okay.
So
check us out on Facebook.
Well, that was poorly planned, putting that Facebook thing right at the end of this.
Nerd Burger Show.
We should have opened up with the Facebook rant, and maybe people would have forgotten by the time we got to the promotional stuff.
Oh, well, it is what it is.
If you'd like to be an administrative assistant on the Nerd Burger Show and help us not do these horribly stupid things, you can apply via the Twitters, not via the Facebooks. Apparently. Okay, go ahead.
And speaking of the Twitter, it's also at Nerd Burger Show, and the website, of course. Please visit the website and click around nerdburgershow.com.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike, well, I guess you're going to have to apologize out the wazoo to Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. So start working on your butt kissing.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.